As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Tuesday, September the 22nd, double 11 there, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. As my name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, of course, hard facts and workable solutions for you, especially with our returning guest, independent researcher Vicki Davis, as we continue tracking the pathological technocracy emerging as a new global order. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, well, you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 to join us live on air and from around America. And around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96. Exeter Mo, 65647. Big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Again, our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. This morning, gold is building strength in the $1,000 territory, poised as it is to enter the $1,020 range. Stocks, oil, and currencies continue their upward trend on a weakening dollar in advance of the G20 summit in Pittsburgh. National Subversive Security Act of 1947, building the United Nations. This will be our topic of discussion with our very special guest, Vicki Davis. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Going to those market reports for Tuesday, September the 22nd, 2009, active trading, New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 hour ago, gold was trading up $13.20 at $1,016.20 an ounce, silver up 37 cents in morning trading at $17.20 an ounce, platinum up $14 as well, trading at $1,331 an ounce, and palladium up $5 at $301 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $1,004.90 for a low, $1,019.30 for a high. At $1,016.20, gold is up $164.40 over 1 year ago today, for a 19.30% return on your investment. Finally, we get a little break out of London. The boys in London set the gold fixed price this morning at $1,015.75. Apparently, they've come to their senses and realized that gold is not happy below $1,000. And the equities, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed off yesterday, 41, trading at 97.79. The NASDAQ was up 5 at 21.38, and the S&P was off 4 at 1,065. We'll pick it all up right there and finish the market reports on the other side of this first break. Stay with us.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents, $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Duke Don Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned right here on our Tuesday, September the 22nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. That's Become Day Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Let's finish out that market report for Tuesday, September the 22nd, again out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We found gold trading up $13.20 at $1,016.20 an ounce, and silver up 37 cents at $17.20 an ounce. The USDX really taking it in the shorts this morning, off 59 basis points, trading at 76.16, opened the door for the advance in the gold market. Crude oil up $1.53, trading at 71.24 for a 42-gallon barrel of light sweet crude. In the foreign exchange rates marketplace, we have the Canadian dollar up 75 basis points, trading at 93 cents U.S. The Mexican peso up 67 points, trading at 8 cents U.S. The euro up strong at $1.48. The British pound up another 66 basis points, trading at $1.63. And the Swiss franc, we've been watching that one, continues to rise, up 86 basis points, now trading at 98 cents U.S. Better look at that Swiss franc very carefully if you're buying currencies. It might be a good place to be. In the bond market, the yield on the 2 years still at 0.99%, below that 1% mark. The 10-year is trading at 3.50, and the 30-year at 4.26%. That's going to play into this week of major and massive bond sales Many, many billions will be served up for auction this month, this week, in advance again of this G20 meeting. The mortgage markets, we see a continuing decline in the amount asked for mortgages. The 15-year is at 4.65, down from 4.79 a month ago. The 30-year mortgage is at 5.16%, down from 5.31 a month ago. Just a little brief note, I got a, pulled this down off the internet. I'm trying to find, here it is, ArabianBusiness.com, Tehran, that would be Iran, my friends. Tehran dumps the dollar for the euro. Fresh news here. It says Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has ordered the replacement of the U.S. dollar by the euro in circulating the value of the country's oil stabilization fund, or their OSF. The edict issued on September the 12th, yes, while everyone was marching in Washington, this was going down in Tehran, follows a recommendation by the trustees of the country's foreign reserves. Iran's English language daily, the Tehran Times, said on Monday, citing Iran's semi-official Meyer News Agency. Don't know about that Meyer News Agency. And also, just a little bit more, we're looking at China wanting to buy the IMF gold, but they only want to buy it at a discount. This off of Reuters, out of MoneyNews.com. China is considering buying gold being offered for sale by the International Monetary Fund, the Market News International said on Monday, citing, of course, two unnamed government sources. Continuing, China will consider buying if the price is right and the return is relatively high, MNI quoted one of the government officials saying. Gold, which had just dipped below $1,000 an ounce, rebounded to $1,003.45 after that report. So we'll be seeing a little bit more pressure on the market from China. Certainly, it will be no threat if the IMF sells their gold. Excuse me. The IMF formally endorsed a plan on Friday to sell 403.3 tons of gold, one-eighth of its holding, to central banks who are in the gold market. China only has about 1,000 tons of gold reserves. And, of course, if you remember from our discussions of the SPDR Gold Trust, they're holding about 1,085. If the Chinese come in and actually do and are successful in buying up this 403 tons of gold, they will surpass the holdings of the GLD or the SPDR Gold Trust. Well, so all that is there. It's just financial news, folks, coming and going. But we've got more important things to discuss this morning with our guest, Vicki Davis. We're going to talk about the National Subversive Security Act of 1947, building the United Nations, and much, much more. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Will. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty happy. I always like to see it when the gold prices go up. I like to see when the silver prices go up. Not so much that it's, you know, line in the pockets or anything like that, but it is a reflection of the decline of the U.S. dollar inside of this Ponzi scheme. And if the Federal Reserve has to get spanked, and we have to get spanked along with it for putting up with that whorehouse, well, then that's the way it's going to be. But there are certainly a lot of people who have been listening and watching for years, and I find it absolutely marvelous, darling, that we're starting to look at gold and silver more seriously. Certainly having it on the internet and in the news is a good sign. But we've got some very interesting things. Again, folks, if you're not familiar with Vicki's work, you can always find her website at www.channelingreality.com. Again, that's www.channelingreality.com. And if you look on the left-hand side of that homepage, you'll see a Become Vocal Local link, which you can click on. And it brings up the topical material that Vicki and I discussed here on the broadcast on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We've been at it now for a couple of months. Certainly, Vicki and I came to know of each other. I wouldn't say we've ever really had the opportunity. Well, we certainly haven't had the opportunity to meet. But we don't really know each other that well. But years ago, on the radio, as a frequent caller on one side and as a frequent caller on the other side of the radio band, we started listening to each other's commentary, oftentimes coming in on the same broadcast as callers. And so from that time forward, I've been watching Vicki's website develop and the news that she brings I think she does an absolutely impeccable job stirring in and finding the interesting things that others might overlook. And altogether, Vicki, you've put together quite an article this morning when we talk about this National Subversive Security Act of 1947. Why don't you give a little bit of a background for the audience on that, and then let's go into it.
It was kind of interesting how I ended up researching that act. I was researching and writing about the global supply chain management system that they have designed, and a fellow researcher, longtime researcher, sent me an email and said, that sounds like the work of Wassily Leontief. And so I did a search on him. Turned out he had been an economist working for the State Department, I believe, and he's the one that came up with the original theory for the what he called the input-output tables, which turn out to be the basis of the supply chain management systems.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We're into it now. We're into it now. Yeah. You know, for the audience's sake, you know, we started these conversations. You can go back, folks, in the archives and pick them up. We started this all out with some research that Vicki did called War in the Context of Everything Else. And we've just kind of been building this information technology structure up from its beginnings all the way up until today. So you might want to go back and visit the archives. Vicki, we're going to be going into a break here. We certainly should be going into it now. There's the music. And we'll be back in just 3 minutes, folks, with Vicki Davis, our special guest, your calls, and much more.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we have returned once again visiting with Vicki Davis. Vicki, this was a very interesting article to read. I got up early this morning and read it again. But you start this National Subversive Security Act of 1947 out this way. If the National Security Act of 1947 were accurately named, it would have been called the National Subversive Security Act because it established the administrative framework for subversives to the U.S. Constitution and our country to operate under the color of law within the U.S. government. Yeah, the supply chain, how this all works together. Let's go into this a little bit deeper because it really lays out a better understanding of how this country was really taken over, and it was taken over quite early.
Mm-hmm. Well, essentially, what happened was that after there were economists that worked for the State Department, and I guess they were probably part of the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, or the predecessor to the CIA. And then, of course, and Wassily Leontief was one of those economists. And what they were able to do...
How do you spell his last name? Any idea there? Do you remember?
Leontief.
Interesting.
Yeah. He was a Russian emigre. He graduated from the University of Leningrad and then came over here, and I think he worked for the New York Bureau of Economic Statistics or something like that. But anyway, his input-output tables, his information allowed the Allies, gave the Allies the information that they needed to be able to specifically target German production facilities without destroying the whole, without destroying everything. You know, they wanted to preserve as much as they could of Germany's productive capacity because, Germans were tremendously productive, especially in steel and weapons and things like that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what he was able to do was to pinpoint particular facilities that were produced components in the production such that they wouldn't have to bomb the main production, but just one little piece of it. You know, because if you disrupt a supply chain, you can disrupt production of the whole thing.
Now, if you take out the ball bearing factory, for instance, just about all electric motors and all gasoline, diesel-powered engines and all of that, all automotives, all tanks, all aircraft goes down with it. Just get rid of the ball bearing capacity and all of those engines go out of existence.
That's exactly right, and that's what Wassily Leontief did. So then after World War II, they had, part of the negotiations of the peace process included, you know, reparations from Germany, you know, pay the world back for all the damage they allegedly caused the world. And Wassily Leontief was Isidor Lubin, who was another economist, was selected to set up the reparations office. And what they decided, and of course that's where the Marshall Plan and all that comes into play, but what they decided to do was instead of the United States being directly involved in managing the Marshall Fund and the reparations of Germany, they decided to do it through the United Nations and the National Security Council.
And so at this particular juncture, you've got Bernard Baruch as a player. You've got Edward Mandelhaus still in the woodwork there. You've got this particular group working. All of them really are working against, if I could say so, American interest. As internationalists, you correctly distinguish between the nationalists and the internationalists when you include the Tories from the old school of thought as enemies of independence. And included in this discussion, you bring in Cordell Hull and others. You know, this is like a real cast of characters here.
Yeah, and it's all, and it all ties back even to 1913, because Cordell Hull was, he was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, and he was, I believe he was involved in the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. I could be wrong on that, but I know he was there, and he was the one that passed the original reduction of tariffs and the first income tax on the American people. So even though it was declared later to be unconstitutional because it wasn't apportioned, but that was his focus on internationalism, and he wanted a reduction of tariffs and income tax on the American people and free trade. And in an email that I sent out last night, I said, you know, when you see those things together, the reduction of tariffs and the income tax on the American people, it the Federal Reserve Act kind of makes sense, because what they did is open up a line of credit to the U.S. government using the income taxes as the collateral, you know, for the international trade system that Cordell Hull wanted.
Well, it really pays off, if my research is correct on that, it really pays the interest on the money that's loaned into existence by the Federal Reserve System, and it goes back to understanding just what was in the mind of Mayor Amschel Bauer Rothschild when he originally set up his banking system, where he looked at making loans and working with governments and kings and queens, the nobility, rather than looking at a commercial banking outfit, simply because by getting in bed with the governments of the day, the states, they could use the force of arms to collect their debts, and so they were a much more secure creditor. And by getting the governments into great debt as soon as possible, then he could play one government off another government to go into the war business and then profit by financing both sides of the war, much of what we saw in Worldwide War One and Rothschild's Worldwide War 2.0. So all of this leads towards the development of the first idea, of course, was the League of Nations. That fell flat. And then coming back through with this idea of establishing the United Nations, which we have today, and soon this week or next, Barry the Usurper and the boys are going to be over there, and we'll go into that later in this discussion. But let's go ahead and continue with this Cordell Hull as the getting the Nobel Peace Prize in 1945 as the father of the United Nations and setting that up.
Yeah. Well, most people point at Alger Hiss, you know, for setting up the United Nations, but it was actually Cordell Hull that wrote the first draft for the structure of the United Nations, and that was done at a Dumbarton Oaks conference. And but for some reason, I don't know whether he became ill or whatever, but he wasn't able to follow through with the establishment of the United Nations. So it kind of went forward after that without him. But, yeah, he won the Nobel Peace Prize as the father of the United Nations.
Okay, well, we'll pick it up right there when we come back from this break, folks. Very interesting discussion this morning with our guest, Vicki Davis, and your calls. Your calls are welcome. at 866-841-1065. Excuse me. Yeah, that's correct. 866-841-1065.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Duke Don Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned. Once again, the call-in numbers are from the Austin, Texas area, 512-904-8014. If you have unlimited long distance or live in the Austin area, you'd like to join us live on air, your calls are certainly welcome. You can also click on option 2 there and take Oracle Broadcasting with you on your telephone. It is a toll charge if you're out of the area, but if you're in the Austin, Texas area, I understand that if you click on option 2 at 512-904-8014, you can listen right over the telephone, and internationally, around America and around the world, you can call in at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You know, when we look at the way that the Constitution set out the framework for our system of government, it makes no inclusion for the cabinet system, the English cabinet system of government by any means, but we had one almost immediately with Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson, and there were a couple of other faces that don't really jump back into my memory quickly this morning. But from that, later, we began to develop this enormous side of government as the executive branch just absolutely mushroomed into the millions of employees. And one of those, of course, is the State Department. Maybe we need to pick up a little bit there and flesh out this behind-the-scenes part of the branch of government, which was formerly the executive branch, Vicki.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, the Marshall Plan was decided upon as the plan to rebuild Germany and handle reparations and everything else, and they didn't want the direct involvement of the U.S. government in doing that. So what they did is to the State Department set up a new group called the Policy Planning Staff, and their function was to manage the engagement of the Marshall Plan through the United Nations, is the way that they laid this out. And through the declassified documents that I found on the Truman Library, which, by the way, I would recommend anybody that's interested in history in this period of time, they just have a tremendous resource at that library. And they're all available to read. But through declassified documents, I found out that the objective of the Marshall Plan was to rebuild Western Europe as an economically integrated region governed by a regional council. And the policy planning staff, the State Department, was to be the liaison between the United States and the United Nations, coordinating domestic policy with United Nations initiatives. Okay, so then the National Security Act of 1947 was the redesign of our administrative government in order to establish the structure whereby they had the organizational structure to enact these policies and to interact through the United Nations to manage this whole diplomatic structure, I guess you'd say. And that's why I call it the Subversives Act of 1947, because the whole focus of those people is the international arena. Has nothing really to do with us domestically.
Well, you'd have to almost ask the question, you know, why any of this has been allowed to continue? What was Congress doing and what were they thinking about by standing back doing really nothing as all of these various and sundries were formed? You know, we hear about the Joe McCarthy, you know, the red baiting and all of that, you know, and the blacklisting of Jews and Hollywood and things like that. But at the same time, we've got this nonsense coming on us and at us, you know, in ever greater frequency and magnitude continuously throughout that entire program. It would seem to me that Congress was so remiss in what they were doing, and that the Supremes were so remiss in not throwing the red flag down on the field someplace, that the treason, the high crimes and treason, spans all three branches at the time, and the American people are just kind of left in the dark as the media turned a blind eye to all of this.
Yeah, well, and that's why Rockefeller said, you know, thanks media for, you know, not covering any of this, you know, so that they could set up their structure. But what I see, in my opinion, the State Department structure, the National Security Council, they are the shadow government.
Exactly.
And, okay, well, down here.
It's really like, you know, we look at who is the Secretary of State. If we don't pay attention to that, and if we don't understand who's really the President of the United States, is it Barry the Usurper or is it Hillary Rodham Clinton?
I would say Hillary, actually.
Yeah.
Because of the internationalization and regionalization that's gone on in our country, and all of these, like the border zone that was created by the La Paz Agreement in 1983, the border zone between Mexico and the United States, That is controlled by the Secretary of State because it's an international zone. And anything that has to do with anything international, that's the Secretary of State.
Amazing.
And so you have the puppet president, but the person controlling the wheels of everything is in the State Department.
Well, where do we go from here?
Well,
out to breakfast?
I think we're actually swirling the bowl is where we are. Our economy is anyway. Okay, the National Security Act of 1947 mandated a reorganization of the foreign policy and military establishments of the U.S. government. I'm reading now from the State Department history. It says, the act created many of the institutions that presidents found useful when formulating and implementing foreign policy, including the National Security Council. The council itself included the president, vice president, secretary of state, secretary of defense, and other members like the director of the CIA and, I guess, a policy staff. But the CIA has always, I guess, been linked to the State Department. They work for the State Department. And they're supposed to only be international, but of course, we know that they aren't. You know, they operate on the United States, same as any other country, which is why we're swirling the bowl, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, so they've got that. We've got the FBI have at various times, you know, investigated the CIA, and they've been remanded and made to stand down on that. So there's a real problem in there as well. Certainly this State Department history is long and sordid, but again, you know, in my mind, Vicki, it just goes back to if we don't understand these various and sundry little pieces, then we get caught up in this nonsense about going to Washington and demonstrating on the on key days of the year and so on and so forth, shaking signs and hollering and bullhorns. But there's really so much more going on behind the scenes that it's no wonder that we get lampooned in the press for those kinds of activities, because it really only speaks to the ignorance of the people out there in the square, really, and has nothing to do with how the government system actually is operating.
Well, yeah, and before I did all this research, I mean, my understanding of the United Nations extended only to, you know, what went on in the National Security Council, and that always has to do with nuclear weapons. And my impression was that they were really kind of a non-entity in terms of, you know, what goes on in the United States. And that really couldn't be further from the truth. It's just that the part of the United Nations that is talked about in the mainstream media is not the important part. The important part of it is the UNESCO side and the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations.
Well, they were certainly part of the beginning of it. There are, as far as I'm concerned, I agree completely that this is one of the places that we absolutely must keep our eyes on, especially the International Labor Organization as well, the ILO. The ILO preceded the creation of the United Nations Organization, and any time you use the word labor or labor, folks, you got to know that we're into socialism and we're in up to our necks. Well, we'll be right back after this break and continue our discussion of the United Nations Organization just a little bit further. Stay with us.
You heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune. Many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
And we've returned once again, and of course, the call-in number remains 866-841-1065. When we look at the United Nations, I like to think of it as the beast system, two M's and an E there. But the whole establishment, if you will, of the United Nations is built upon organs and bodies. That hails back to the His name was Bichat. And Bichat was around at the same time that Auguste Comte was, and Auguste Comte, the founder of sociology, the idea that it would become the queen of sciences, Bichat was into looking at the human mind and the body, the organs and the bodies, as the system of the future government, and it was from that some of, if not most of, Auguste Comte's positive polity was organized, and then from that we see in the creation of the United Nations governmental structure and their organizational chart more of these organs and bodies. They even use that name, all of the various heads and organs and so on. In addition to that, at about the late 40s, early 50s, there was a writer here in America. His name is Philip J. Wiley. He wrote a book, it's titled The Den of Vipers, and in that he openly used the idea of the nanny state and the mommy state and laid out how all of this was coming on us and at us. And his mother was a kind of a debutante, and she had dated a lot of the people that had been involved in this creation of the United Nations and this entire beast system, including, I believe, Bernard Baruch. So there's a lot in this, folks, that go to create the system that is in place today. But, Vicki, you've got a lot of information here on the table for today. Let's pick it up someplace along the lines of the creation of the United Nations and just keep right in into it.
Right. Well, before the break, you mentioned the International Labor Organization. And just recently, Richard Trumka, who was the former CEO of the AFL-CIO, he gave a speech to, you know, union members. I guess it was a major conference or something like that. And as I listened to his speech, he's talking about building the union movement and blah, blah, blah. But he said, we have to build a union movement under the auspices of the International Labor Organization so that anybody who is working anywhere in the world is under the contract of the ILO. You know, brothers and sisters the world over. And I thought, you know, how can the union members here in the United States be buying into this idea that they can unionize the entire world? Because the whole idea of a labor union is their power is to be able to withhold labor. That's the only leverage they've got against money, is to be able to withdraw labor. Okay? So basically by saying that that they are globalizing the union, they're saying that the union here in this country really won't have any power. And how this is all related to UNESCO under the United Nations is that the International Labor Organization is one of the organs of UNESCO. And what he's doing with the union members is a classic case of presenting a positive picture to get people to go against their very own interests.
Well, really, if we understand the mindset of the Rothschilds properly, when they started to get involved in this, and again, folks, you know, workers of the world unite, you know, Karl Mordecai Marx, crypto-Jew that he was, the whole idea there was basically to get in and to work economies from the standpoint of labor. And so, all of the parts and pieces, Vicki, that we've been laying out, not to take too much of a sidebar here, but all of these parts and pieces go back to the International Job Bank, even our Social Security card numbers and all of that, mandatory health care, considering the people of the United States as consumers, pitting a producing nation against a consuming nation. All of these things are right down at the grassroots level, right down at the people level. And by controlling the economy through the manipulation of labor, it's a brilliant scheme simply because it keeps everybody equally broke and coming back every single Monday morning, leaping in their automobile and blindly rushing off to work, sucking on a Starbucks. And it's a beautiful management system, and especially when you get involved with UNESCO and start working the educational system against them as well. So this is quite a clever system we find ourselves within.
Right, right. And that's what UNESCO is all about, is education. And it's education to set the framework to have people think the way that they want them to think. And to basically limit knowledge and thinking to what serves the purpose of these international power brokers is what they are. It's all about money and power, the whole global system. But, you know, this UNESCO side of it is about I hate to call it education because it's not really education. Education would be knowledge for the sake of knowledge. What they do is indoctrinate.
Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, the idea of shaping the dialogue when we have brought in that article on civility. when you shape the debate, you do that most effectively starting before kindergarten. You can shape the debate in the minds of the parent. You meet the child at the minds of the parent before the child is even conceived. They come into this left-right paradigm, this whole unusual world, this incredible creation, if you will. The child is raised up inside of this system, really can never escape. It is only the very few that ever come to any illumination or enlightenment in the course of their life to even see that they're inside of this thing. But at the top, you've got these people like, you know, Orwell and Aldous Huxley and many others who just laugh and laugh and laugh. You know, Bertrand Russell was one sharp cookie. John Stuart Mill and James Mill, they were very, very intelligent people. They thought this through quite carefully, and they created something which, as Walter Wriston said, is irreversible unless the whole world decides that we have got to shift our minds away from this mind-forged manacles that have been placed on us by these global controllers. We will be nothing more than just cattle on the field and in a new global feudalism.
Yes, and that's exactly right. And so, anyway, when I was doing this research, I found this really interesting history on UNESCO that was written by a man named Raymond E. Wanner. And it's called The United States and UNESCO, Beginnings and New Beginnings, New Beginnings 1945 and New Beginnings 2005. And he starts out with the history of the Conference of Allied Ministers of Education. They had a conference in London, and it was at that conference, I guess, where the early ideas for the creation of UNESCO began. And that was as early as 1941, before the war even started. And I guess, let's see, it was led by R.A. Butler, president of the British Board of Education, who wanted to have a way to reconstruct global education. Who was greatly concerned with post-war reconstruction on the continent, formalized the gathering into the Conference of Allied Ministers of Education in November of 1942.
Well, so the idea of reconstruction is absolutely important, folks, and as we come back from the top of the hour break, we'll begin hour number two on that note. Reconstruction is something we have got to have firmly in our minds as we understand how the globe has been shaped and reshaped for us. We'll be back with your calls, Vicki Davis, and much more after this break. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90%. 20% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, September the 22nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, as we begin hour number two with our very special guest, Vicki Davis. As we were going to the top of the hour break, and in the previous hour, we'd started into a discussion of material that you can find on Vicki's website. It's www.channelingreality.com, and if you look on the left-hand side of the homepage, you'll see the Become Vocal Local link that Vicki has provided. And if you click on that, you'll open up a page that shows the various topical documents that we're using and referring to live here on air today. And as we were going into the top of the hour break, we had just begun this idea of post-war reconstruction on the continent. This is in the 1940s period, but we must remember that after the war of northern aggression or the war of secession, depending how you style it, whichever side of the Mason-Dixon your point of reference lies, reconstruction was very, very useful, and there were many lessons learned and best practices developed that the globalists have never forgotten, and they use over and over and over again. Certainly, as we are now in Afghanistan and Iraq, we are in a process of reconstructing their lives, spreading, making the world safe, if you will, for democracy. Now, before we go into this particular section that's going to include some information from J. William Fulbright, I just remind the audience that he was a Democratic senator from Arkansas, and on April the 15th, he stated the following on CBS television in relation to Jewish power in America. He said, quote, "The United States Senate is subservient to Israel. Israel controls the Senate, and this has been demonstrated time and time again, and this has made it difficult for the government." And so we can draw the Zionist line between the rise of Zionism at this time period in the 30s, 40s, and that right in there, together with our thorough understanding of the power that the Rothschilds have on the global banking industry, if you will, and that they have a proclivity to finance both sides of wars, and they loan money to governments, and they are involved in the central banking systems globally, then maybe we can understand just a little bit more about how absolutely important the creation of the UNESCO as a United Nations organ actually is. Vicki?
And I think William Fulbright was involved in establishing the group called CAME, and you'll have to give me the acronym on that because I've got to change phones. My phone is beeping.
Okay, the London Conference. This is the Conference of Allied Ministers of Education. The London Conference, and ultimately UNESCO itself, evolved from the sessions of the Conference of Allied Ministers of Education, also you could say CAME, C-A-M-E. Anytime you get involved with the United Nations, you've got to get involved in acronymology, because they acronymize everything. They come up with a lengthy name, and then they break it down into an acronym. And you have to wonder, Vicki, certainly I do, that they don't come up with the acronym first and then try and find the consonants necessary to build the words.
I think sometimes they do, actually. But motto or the thesis or whatever you want to call it behind UNESCO is, since wars begin in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that the defenses of peace must be constructed. And that's really the driving idea behind UNESCO, is that they will create a system in education in which peace is primary, and
absolutely, peace, and there will be no peace. Folks, we'll be back right after this 3-minute commercial intermission.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offenses against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Tuesday, September the 22nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Now in our second hour, we come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And as we're going into the commercial break there, Vicki, you just started to introduce this concept that war has to be created in the minds of man, and certainly with September the 11th live burning sacrifice that was visited on New York City and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and down in the Pentagon with all of that Muhammad Atta and his flying circus nonsense. It was necessary to build firmly in the minds of the American people everything that they needed to think about with these turban wearing, these raghead, dot head, towel head, or whatever they call them, building this war in the minds of people to get them to go along with this nonsense. But certainly the educational system, the media, the politicians themselves, these politics, the parasites on the back of the body politic, all of them work together in this idea, and it all stems from this very early beginning in 1941 of UNESCO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 1943, this CAME group, the Conference of Allied Ministers of Education, passed a resolution that called for United Nations Bureau of Educational Reconstruction. And it's kind of an interesting idea if you think about it. You know, war only lasts for the duration of the conflict, but education goes on forever. And so by setting up the two branches, you know, the National Security Council that's focused on war and then UNESCO that is focused on education and economic and scientific achievement and whatever, they would have the power to influence global politics forever, on an ongoing basis.
Which they absolutely have, and unless we can somehow or another break this yoke and get our children out of the maw, if you will, of Fed Ed and UNESCO, this will continue to be a repeating phenomenon.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, you know, people, especially the alternate media people are saying, let's take America back. Well, the difference between us and these people is that these people think long term. And if we think long term, if we were thinking long term, we would be entirely focused on the educational system and breaking that link.
Absolutely.
And all of the states in 1966, when Lyndon Baines Johnson, you know, did his Great Society thing, which was all about education and social, you know, it was the United Nations agenda, even though we didn't recognize it as such at the time, all of the states signed an interstate compact for education. And that was the nationalization of our education system. And our impression always has been that our education system is local. But the way that they nationalized it through this interstate compact, it's all kind of hidden from view. Like everything else in this country, you know, it's hidden from view of the average citizen. And they don't realize that all this crap that, you know, is implemented in the schools comes because of that interstate compact agreeing to nationalize the school and be directed by the Federal Department of Education.
Well, as we say on this broadcast a lot, Vicki, the idea that a bold, vocal, local people realize that every time they put their hands out for unearned grants and aid, the shackles of control come on when you reach out for that little bag of shekels. And so when I've attended school board meetings in the past and whatnot, what I see is that the primary focus of education at the local school board meeting and the superintendent of schools is students' attendance days. They're paid for every day that a student is sitting in a chair. They're not paid for the ones that graduate from high school. They're not paid for the ones that are academically excellent and achieving. They're paid for student attendance days. So the more days per year that the children can be subjected to this propaganda, the more they get paid. And so there's no incentive for them to turn out academic achievers and excellence. Their incentive is to fill up as many chairs as possible on a daily basis. And this is, we brought this out a little bit, Vicki, when we started talking about Catherine Sebelius and the Director of Education and Janet Napolitano meeting and greeting and propagandizing the people. But basically they said that beyond any question, they wanted to have the children remain in the schools, because originally the talking points were getting the children out of school, and then when they got the blowback from the superintendents all across the country saying, hey, we're not going to do that. We're not going to have people stay home. We'll set up a space where they can cough into their sleeves and wash their hands, but we need them in school because that's how we get paid.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to have to change that because they want to go to virtual education, so they'll have to change the funding mechanism, but to be more like hours on the computer or something. But that brings up another misconception that most people have. You know, they all of the programs that are driven down to the state and local level come with federal dollars attached, but it's the federal government almost never pays 100%. Usually it's a small percentage, so it's the people in the states that end up paying for all of these programs that they didn't even want.
Yeah, so what they usually do is they use matching funds, whereas let's say you have a local fire department folks or something like that, and they've gotten involved in this enhanced 911 system, and they're involved in setting up their emergency operations plan and their FEMA's all hazard mitigation planning program. And so you set up all of these little volunteer fire departments around and about, and then your local senator, your congressman, let the regional councils of government know that there's money available for fire trucks. And so the local fire department, the volunteer fire departments, they say, oh boy, let's get a fire truck. They have to come up with 20%. The government, if you will, comes up with 80%, or basically the rest of the taxpayers come up with 80%, and bingo bango, the next thing you know, you've got a brand new shiny Tonka toy fire truck sitting down at your volunteer fire department. But, yeah, first of all, the people have to come up with 20%, then the people in general come up with the 80%, but when you look at the price that is being paid for those fire trucks, you know that the graft and the corruption is enormous, because you're talking about a $1 million fire truck, and the people are having to come up with thousands and thousands of dollars for their 20% share, and the whole thing in a free market could have been acquired for far, far less. So, yeah, it's a mess. It really is.
Yeah, well, in the case of the education system, the percentages are different, switched. It's the people in the local states that come up with the 80%, and the government comes up with 20% if they come up with anything at all.
Yeah,
at least we're seeing primary school education.
And we're seeing that in the Cash for Clunkers program too, folks. When you're dealing with liars, you always got to watch your wallet. We'll be right back after this brief commercial intermission. Stay with us.
It's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune. Many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we are back once again right here on Become Vocal Local. And folks, Vicki's website again is www.channelingreality.com. If you haven't logged on to that yet, you might want to do so this morning. If you look on the front page, you'll see the link for Become Vocal Local. If you open that page, you'll see the documents that Vicki has placed out there for us to consider in this discussion today. And as a good country kitchen should at dinner time, there's certainly far more than we're going to be able to eat or digest today. There'll be lots of leftovers, places for you to go and study on your own time after the broadcast is over. But Vicki, let's go back into this and get a better understanding and continue finding out more about UNESCO and CAME. Here it says in the article that you prepared, it says in April of 1944, with President Roosevelt's endorsement, it sent a delegation led by Congressman J. William Fulbright that included Assistant Secretary of State McLeish, Commissioner of Education John Studebaker, Stanford University Dean Grayson Kefauver, Vassar College Dean Mildred Thompson, and Ralph Turner with the instructions to participate fully in CAME's efforts to sketch out a constitution for the new organization. Let's pick it up there.
Yeah, in this paper written by Richard Wanner, which I really recommend that everybody read, he wrote this something that I really liked. It says, McLeish, the poet, later articulated the new reality concisely. UNESCO's role would be to construct defenses in the mind of peace in the minds of men. It was to be a security agency. Its weapon is intercultural dialogue. And so when you understand that, then you see how important the education piece of all of this is. And J. William Fulbright's contributions to this, I guess, were to expand the role of what UNESCO was involved in. Besides education, they decided on relief and rehabilitation, there you go with reconstruction again, food and agriculture, and the International Labor Organization.
Well, we can see some of that, you know, came into the schools at this time period. I know in my encyclopedia studies, I've come across photographs where they show lunchrooms full of young white children and bright and shiny faced Negro children and Hispanic children all together, and they're all sucking down their bottled milk and eating their little their lunches and things like that. It was an overall program of control, really. If you can think about getting a contract to provide food services at the schools, certainly here in our small town newspaper, they always have a lengthy segment there on the lunch menus that are going to be provided to the schools. It's actually breakfast and lunch, dinner, and they have a dinner section too for those that are from challenged families. But if you can get into their minds and into their bloodstreams, the information that you want to get in there, plus the various chemicalized feeds that they want to put into the children, and then blend in the labor organization as well, so that we're actually creating the workers of the world unite in the future, This is quite the Gordian knot that they've tied for the children.
Yeah, and something that I found out, I don't think I documented it in this paper, but it was actually the U.S. government that created the National Education Association. So, you know, that's a union.
That's right.
You've got a government creating the union, and of course it makes sense because then they control the union agenda. And that's why they have so much power, even though every other union in the whole country has basically been broken, but not that one.
Well, the educators belonging to that union then have a natural proclivity to vote the Democratic line, which just furthers this agenda. And even here in Southwest Missouri, where we have a very, very large preponderance of Republicans, many of those that work in education and the health and human services are that fragment that votes Democratic. So, the International Labor Organization would make sense, creating the National Education Association, bringing in the concept of unionized labor at the level of schools. Who would expect a teacher to speak out against unionized labor in a classroom when that person is themselves a union member?
Right. Well, and with the union, with them controlling the union, they can control various aspects of the administration of the schools. So, and something that's interesting, I have always wondered this, you know, why didn't the states, you know, when teachers would go on strike or they want more money, why didn't they ever call them on it and say, okay, well, take a hike, we don't need you? But I think it's because of this control and the linkage to UNESCO and the whole big idea of controlling the minds of people.
Well,
through the education system.
You run it up through the party system. You know, as I like to say, that we have to correctly analyze the disease, the established two-party political system. As at the highest level in the state committee, you include the state board of education as part of the party. They have a seat at the table. Nobody else does, but they do. And so you can see how they work together with the parties and the educators to whipsaw the minds of the people towards this idea of peace, you know, peace, and peace and safety. And yet it's not for peace and it's not for safety. It's all about control. And, it's just a bald-faced lie. But there again, you know, look at the support that the land-grant universities, ever since the first extension system was created in England, the various halls, Toynbee Hall and some of the others, the settlement houses they were called, they brings up Barry the Usurper as a community organizer. It invokes the Tavistock Institute and the Smith Institute and Brookings Institution and the rest of the think tanks. Now we have to link into Carnegie and the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and all of these other parts and pieces. You know, this is a bigger puzzle than whether, we should go out and join the Libertarian Party or not. You know, there's a bigger deal going on here. But certainly, UNESCO plays an extremely important role. And again, it's not just the education here in the United States. When the usurper went over to Egypt, every time he said democracy, the students clapped. You know, it's a global training program.
Yeah, and Pavlov has been very instrumental. I mean, his theories were very instrumental. You know, every time you say democracy, clap. Democracy, clap.
Right. It's a sad and sorry testimony, but it's the truth. And we've explored here on the broadcast that really democracy is nothing more, folks, than code for socialism. And, you can put it any way you want. You can style it fascism. You can style it communism. You can say socialism. It all really boils down to state capitalism, state mandated or state controlled capitalism. Capitalism itself comes right out of Mordecai Marx, his treatise Das Kapital, which I have in my library and have read. So, we've walked into this buzzsaw, and it's going to be up to us to get out.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the most offensive things I've seen researching was when I was looking at the State of the World Forum, and that was Mikhail Gorbachev's group, you know, when he was invited over to the Presidio, you know, to bring communism to the United States. The person that was in charge, he had several different groups that were involved in various aspects of social life. And one of his groups, of course, was on education. You know who was heading up his group on education? Jane Goodall.
Well, if it isn't just another monkey in the mist, folks, we'll be right back. Perestroika, Anatoly Golitsyn, community organizers, and transparency in government. It all is interlinked. We'll be right back.
Always remember those strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pint of heirloom vegetable tea could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Duke John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned. Your calls are certainly welcome at 866-841-1065. Visiting again this morning with Vicki Davis. You know, when we think about UNESCO, you've got to understand that the word scientific was added into that. Words do have meanings. Their meanings are important as how they are used. And so we need to understand as well that the things that you hear on this radio broadcast today, you will have forgotten probably 90% of by tomorrow. And this is well known and well established. And if I can add a visual image to our discussion, you'll remember more. If I can get any of your other senses involved besides hearing, you'll retain even more. If I can invoke all five senses, you will retain most of it. And then if you'll apply spaced repetition, in other words, you listen to it many times over, you'll remember more and more and more of it. And so, being very aware of that, the globalist, if you will, the master blasters, the shapers of our minds, the shapers of the dialogue, have sought to bring into the educational system and throughout our entire life inundation by every possible sensory tool available to them. This was well known and used by Goebbels in Nazi Germany and in many other places. But here, back to our topic, it continues and it says, under the program priorities, McLeish returned often to the theme of using the new tools of mass communication, film, radio, telegraph, and the press, quote, to enlighten the peoples of the world in a spirit of truth, justice, and mutual understanding, which was to be the first and the most important program priority. The Assistant Secretary of State for Public Affairs, William Benton, urged UNESCO to study how fundamental education could be provided by radio and films, and later in the United States Senate, he would propose a Marshall Plan for ideas. Very fascinating and riveting, Vicki.
Sure does explain a lot, huh? We've always been under the impression that we had a free press and that Hollywood produced movies for entertainment, and no. No.
Well,
your education.
It really is the scientific socialism. It goes back to the way that we started out here on our broadcast, tracking the pathological technocracy as emerging as a new global order. So much of this harkens back to the time of Auguste Comte's whole idea of positivism. But let's just pick it up right there, this idea of a Marshall Plan for ideas.
Well, and the reason why you and I are on the radio right now is because they had to have implemented it, right?
Exactly.
Because the what we get on the mainstream media, once you realize, you know, that it's really a propaganda tool, and you watch the programs, you can see the social conditioning and the thought boxes created by the news people. Just in everything that's on, even C-SPAN, which, you know, is probably the most fair of programs, you know, presenting you with what's going on in the political arena. But even they have a slant and a bias, albeit more subtle than, you know, what you see in the mainstream media.
Well, it's the words that we follow, you know, it's the images that we follow, at least from my standpoint, from my perspective, having been aware of this for many, many, many years. It's the words that we follow, because we look at these various talking points that are being generated, and then when I read a news article, when I'm reading a report that has been written either by one of the various and sundry bodies and organs of the United Nations or any of the extension councils and things like that, you see these recurring themes, you know, these days it's the man-made global warming and peak oil and things like that, that are windows to let you know when you're dealing with some derivative of the Tavistock mind shapers, you know. And on the evening news, or whether, you know, people talk about going to see movies and things like that, you just hear this reinforcement going over and over like a drone in music.
Uh-huh. Well, and that ensures that you'll remember it.
Exactly.
You know, the repetition. But anyway, the second program priority was to establish close ties with the International Council of Scientific Unions to permit scientists from every country to exchange information and to work together. And that which is kind of an interesting thing, you know. Of course you want to be able to share scientific advancements, but they've kind of gone too far with this global climate change thing. I mean, they must have replaced the real scientists with the social scientists, and the social scientists came up with the concept of global warming as a tool of social manipulation for people.
Well, social sciences serve, in my opinion, as a filter between we the people and our general understanding of the world that we live in and the world of empirical science. And, you know, just like Benjamin Bernanke said the other day, you know, about not wanting to politicize the Federal Reserve, you could say that there was a certain justification for not wanting to politicize science and scientific development. But at the same time, when you have this idea of capacity building and the open and transparent sharing of scientific knowledge, you know, that's how the Israeli get all of our scientific technology, is that they've got the back door to all of the software. And so we come up with some brilliant idea that we paid billions of dollars to fund and finance and run through the colleges and then in through the patent office and out into production, only to be trumped by it, by the Israelis selling our secret military things that would give us some sense of safety to the communist Chinese.
I know. It's like a schizophrenic world. They have created a schizophrenic world where they present you with one view and one explanation in order to manipulate you, but the truth is really something totally different. And so, you know, and if you're a sleeping person, still asleep, like I was for many years, I'm not, you know, setting myself apart from the rest of the population because I was totally blind to all of this for a long time. But if you're not aware of it, you think that the world is actually the way that it's presented to you in the media. It's only when you start to study the history of this whole global infrastructure that you see the fraud behind all of it.
Well, your idea here, this third priority to promote the basic education with an emphasis on adult education through close cooperation with existing public and private programs, again, referring to the article, these folks that you can find on Vicki's website, channelingreality.com, click on the Become Vocal Local link. We're looking at the National Subversive Security Act, her article. But here, this third program to promote basic education, the idea of adult education, continuing education, again, this invokes the university extension councils, the land-grant universities. This hails back to Lord and Lady Amberley, the parents of Bertrand Russell, the creation of the Fabian Socialist Society, the Sidney and Beatrice Webb, the George Bernard Shaws of the world, the Mark Twains, etc. But the goal here, they say, state, was less to address illiteracy as such than to prepare the public for its responsibilities for active life in democratic societies, and to arm it against ideologies that ostensibly could lead to war. But
right, well,
if we wrap our minds
like
around that, let me finish this and then I'll throw it right back to you, Vicki. But
okay.
this idea of getting people literate, even Joseph Stalin, you know, the great Uncle Joe, knew and promoted the idea that it was absolutely essential for literacy. People need to be able to read, they need to be able to speak so that they can be programmed properly, because, you know, illiterate people are exceedingly difficult to lead. And in one of our political science textbooks, Vicki, I've shared a quotation, lengthy one, where basically a human being is a politically socialized entity, whereas an animal is one that is not.
Oh, interesting.
Very.
Well, the idea of lifetime education is that they have to continue the indoctrination process that they began in the schools, because if you ever break out of their education instructional system telling you how to think about the world and what to think about the world, then you end up on the outside of the bubble in the real world like we are. You know, saying, what the heck?
And if the parents aren't continually inculcated, inundated with this stuff, then they don't relate to the emerging education coming from their children, and there become fissures inside of this system. So it's absolutely essential from cradle to grave, just like William Beveridge posited back in the 1800s, that we've got to have this social security system and cradle to grave management of the minds of the people. We'll be right back after this break, folks. Stay with us.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. enginebrain.com. enginebrain.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
And we are back in our last segment of today's broadcast, again visiting with Vicki Davis. And Vicki, as we were going into the break, we just reiterated this this concept here about the goal here was of the UNESCO was to address illiteracy as such and then to prepare the public for its responsibilities for active life in democratic societies and to arm it against ideologies that could lead to war. Unfortunately, some of those ideologies that we've been armed against are the ideas of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all ideas that have historically led to war, but unfortunately it was led to war against these despotic controllers. Then the article that you've got here continues and it says the three problems. A number of delegates with the Chinese, Greek, Yugoslav, and Polish delegates being the most outspoken asked how UNESCO could construct the defenses of peace in the minds of men without first meeting basic human needs of food, shelter, the physical infrastructure of civil life, and so on. And so in this, then, they could began to see how they needed to close the loop, which we find in Agenda 21 and whatnot, but it closes that paragraph saying, to succeed, UNESCO and other agencies, the international banks and governments would need to work in consort. And so now we're really entering into this target-rich zone of public-private partnership.
Yeah, well, and isn't it interesting? It's kind of the reason why the S was added in UNESCO for science was that the blowing of the atomic bombs at Hiroshima gave, I really believe it was kind of a demonstration project, you know, for why the world needed to have an organization like UNESCO. But the UNESCO organization, the United Nations organization, kind of the atomic bomb seems like kind of a metaphor for how this whole United Nations system mushroomed.
Well, Oppenheimer definitely was a Rothschild agent, but so, you know, really was Bernard Baruch. Bernard Baruch was put up as the first head of the Atomic Energy Commission, UNESCO, or United Nations Atomic Energy Commission. In my own research, Vicki, I have found enough evidence for me to feel confident that we never dropped an atomic bomb anywhere, not in Nagasaki nor in Hiroshima, but they were actually on-ground detonations. And so when the pilots returned, they were chastised in one of the two. I can't remember if it was the Enola Gay. I think it was. The pilot was chastised because he was over the target and released too late. And the clock that froze in the town square was frozen at a time just before he was said to have released the bomb. And so, you know, it just points to the fact that those are on-ground demonstrations, as you said.
How very interesting.
Indeed.
You know, but it that confirms or strengthens the suspicion that I have is that there are psychopaths of science that use the technology to terrorize people into this control grid system that they characterize as security for the world, but it's actually psychopaths doing dirty things that are driving people into it. And if you look at what we're going through right now, you know, this whole pandemic scare, I mean, what is all that about? You know, it's about terrorizing people by science, you know, and it is by science because these viruses are very obviously created viruses.
Exactly. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And so as science and technology are played out, you know, they have this real stranglehold on people. You know, who could be against progress? Who could be, you know, against all of this development? Look at all of these conveniences. We have lighting, we have heating, we have cooling, we have running water, all of these various and sundry things, you know. So it creates a cover for it. But underneath it all, I agree completely, there is this a pathos, if you will, pathological nature of those who truly believe that they are of chosen status, that are the only ones that are qualified to rule. We talked about that with the Daryl Everhart, this idea of the divine right of kings to rule, those that wish to rule the world. And as Doug Owen and Michael Vail and Lee Rogers and other hosts on the network have pointed out, as we move further into this scientific socialism, the idea of transhumanism comes into it. Jokingly stated in the past that from their standpoint, from the controller's standpoint, it would be just as well if humans were born with smooth crotches, that we would no longer have anything to do with a choice as to whether or not we should breed or not to breed. The vaccinations work into that, the massive sterilization of the people. Only those with a need to survive can survive. So all of these things play together, and UNESCO certainly underlies that, especially in that the schools constantly teach about reproductive health and things like that. And now even the UN is suggesting that 4- and 5-year-olds learn how to masturbate.
Yeah, Well, the whole entire vision, when you put the whole picture together of the future that these people are building, it's a horror beyond description. I mean, I don't even know that fiction writers or, you know, in the movies would even do something, write something as horrible as what the future is for mankind if they don't figure out what this system is and what the objectives of these psychopaths are.
Well, if they make up 2 or 3% of the overall global population and feel justified that they should be the ones that are the final rulers and occupiers of the planet, of course, that opens the door for the liquidation of about 98% of us. And if through the advancement of science and technology, they can have electronic slave devices of all kinds and a few technicians kept around in a special breeding pool to do those nasty things that humans only can do, but they don't want to do, it does paint a really horrific and grim picture. And I think it should just really serve to the audience to let everybody understand that we have come to a juncture in the development of mankind where if we allow this internationalist movement to move forward on this agenda, if we allow them, and it will be by our own allowance, it will be our own silence and our own consent that gets us into this. But if we do allow this to happen, it's like going into a box canyon, and all the little ponies are going to be driven into this box canyon. They can smell the feed, they can smell the water, and they go voluntarily. But as the door is drawn closed behind us, this is going to be a box canyon from which mankind may never be able to escape. And so we have to redouble our efforts, Vicki. I know you're working overtime trying to get this information gleaned out of the cyberspace and put on the website for people. And then as we come together, we share it the best way we can in an open, honest way. All the documentation will be found right at the website, folks. This isn't a bunch of falderaw. This is the real McCoy. This is the real deal. And so I certainly hope that the audience will continue to come back and listen to these talks. And always, Vicki, I'm so pleased to be joined by you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I think it really enriches our dialogue and expands our understanding. We've got about a minute to go. Any thoughts to take away on this particular body of research for the audience?
Well, I guess the message would be that find your humanity and so that you can see it in other people, because if we as people don't get in touch with our humanity, these psychopaths, scientific psychopaths, will be able to implement their vision of the world, and it's not a future that you would want to have your progeny be born into. And it won't be your children, probably. It will be your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren who will suffer. And from there on, and once it's in place, it's there. I mean, there will be no going back.
I agree. I think as Walter Wriston said, the systems that were set up in the 40s and the 50s and are in place today, folks, are irreversible, but remember that it's going to be up to us. It's up to us to break this educational system. We have to break the chain. We can begin by homeschooling. By all means, if it's within your potential to do so, withdraw your children from the public school system, and let's start re-educating America. Folks, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Vicki, thank you for coming with us, and we'll be back again tomorrow with our guest, Daryl Everhart. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free.
Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.